time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday, fun. Cofield and Company, Steve Cofield, Willie Ramirez, Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sports Bar. We'll get into the college football slate, all the big games in less than 12 minutes with our college football insider, Michael Felder, will be with us. Mark McMillan in the middle of the show. Willie and Griffin are in the Finley Toyota Studios. Willie, let's come right out of the gates. And another impressive win by the Packers on Thursday night. I want to get to some of the factors with Micah Parsons, but the Packers are how close to the Eagles? What do you think?
Well, you used a phrase on Monday for our Monday, and we were talking to Nick Bogdanovich, and you kept using the phrase overreaction. It's overreaction Monday. It's week one. I'm teetering on whether or not, you know, it's only week two. And they've looked fantastic. And it's arguable that after week two that we would say the Packers look like the best. Why? Because they beat Detroit. Why? Because they beat Washington. Or are we overreacting because the Lions are without Ben Johnson and Washington got hit with a slew of injuries as that game went on? So are we overreacting, or did they just look really damn good in spots where they were supposed to look against teams that face adversity?
I'm comfy in saying they're the number two team in the NFC. I reserve the right to change my mind, but they've looked good. Last night, offensively, they look good. And, Griffin, I know you had a bunch of notes about the defense and that Micah Parsons is making an impact. I mean, he's not out there for, you know, 60 plays a game yet, but in the time he's out there, the defense is, I mean, I was going to say a lot better than last year. It's better than last year, and last year was top five.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I really like Willie's point there, saying, you know, could this all possibly be overreaction, seeing the Packers go 2-0? Honestly, though, I see it as you got to look at where the team was last year. They made the playoffs. The quarterback is established. They got Josh Jacobs in the backfield. Receiving group, it's a little miss. Maybe that's the biggest question mark in the offense. But all in all, I see this Packers team as a team that's trying to follow the mold of an Eagles, 2024 Eagles, where they are trying to control the entire game in sense with the run game and a defense that is going to, that is feasting. I mean, you look at the stats last night. You have so many players on the defensive line, on the defense in general, not named Micah Parsons, who recorded either a sack, a 0.5, a half sack, multiple quarterback hits. I mean, the attention is fully on Micah Parsons, and you can honestly look at a lot of the, or at least the two offensive coordinators for the Lions and for the Commanders, and you could kind of see, like, there is a genuine fear of Micah Parsons going off and exploding. And so they're trying their best to divert all attention to Parsons to try to prevent him from going off. And all it's doing is opening up the floodgates for all the rest of the Packers defensemen to get in there and wreak havoc. So I like this team. I don't like this team, but I like the way this team is built.
You,
I think,
hate them.
I hate them. And I hate the fact that I kind of agree with a lot of those who say this team is, you know, at least in the top three so far this year. It's a very young NFL season, only 2 weeks. But, I mean, top three team in the league right now, I fully agree with that.
What did Parsons tell the TNF postgame crew?
You know, he just kind of seemed like he was soaking in the moment because he got to the stage and immediately that Packers crowd was waiting for him in the postgame. And when he rode up, he got a nice little chant from the crowd there, and they all wanted to, you know, give their thanks to old Jera.
Lay out for a second because this crowd has something to say. I know you guys know what they're saying. They're saying, thank you, Jerry.
And how does that make you feel? Thank you, Jerry Chan, after two games for the Packers now with Micah Parsons.
I feel wonderful. Happy for him. Good for him.
Yeah. I love Kenny Clark. I love our future draft picks. All right, quick timeout. Reminder, we're here at Golden Circle Bar inside Treasure Island. They have happy hour all day long, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and that's good at the Breeze Bar, Gillies, and, of course, right here at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. On the way back, Michael Felder will get into all the big games that are going down tomorrow. Of course, you can find him up on the web on Twitter at In the Bleachers, and he does a podcast for Learfield. Felder on the way.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Time for our college football insider, Michael Felder, getting ready for week three of the college football season. Week two, if you go up to itsfelder.substack.com. I know one of the themes of the week, something that bothered you, were drops, and they really came into play in a lot of the big games.
Yeah, drops were huge, and I don't care if you're Michigan, if you're UCLA, if you are, if we're going through these teams, like, the drops were critical. Clemson had some, like, this is... I don't know where this comes from, Cofield. I don't know how it's like it's become like this. Like it's I'm not going to call it an epidemic because that feels like, or a pandemic because that makes it feel like we're lessening like the actual like things that are happening in like the world. Right. But it is one of these things where it's a massive problem where even Jeremiah Smith, right? We thought he might be the number one wide receiver coming into this season from Ohio State. Drops. I feel like. Everybody drops. We're seeing them at Alabama. We're seeing them from Georgia. We're seeing them all over the country. And like, that's a thing that you're like, Chris, I was listening to Chris Carter talk about drops and he was like, no, you don't drop the football. Like that's, if it touches your hands, that's yours. And watching guys not catch it. And this is different than, and the reason I bring this, that bring up NFL players to talk, that who've talked about it, CeeDee Lamb was good for a drop a game on an easy pass. And then he would just do like some crazy one-handed catch and he's good. These are consistent multiple drops. We saw it at UNC. Drops are bad. And you cannot drop the football, especially when the quarterback actually delivers. And that's the part Texas has had a lot of drops. And sometimes you got to make your quarterback look good, man. We saw it in the NFL too, right? We saw it from the Ravens. We saw it from the Dolphins. We've seen it. Like, drops are bad. And so, yes, drops were on my list of things that I'm like, we got to figure this out.
I'm assuming also on your list was Clemson not looking so hot last week, yeah. Down whatever it was, 17-3 at the half. And now They get a big one as they take on Georgia Tech, a healthy Haynes King.
Yeah, they I know there was a weather delay, and that can be a little bit funky. You're supposed to be better than that. And ultimately they were, right? Like ultimately they were better than Troy.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to go wire to wire. And they didn't go, they haven't played wire to wire in the two games they played. So week three, if you don't go wire to wire against Georgia Tech, guess what Georgia Tech's going to do? They're going to put a W up on there, and you know what you walk home with? An L.
What do you think happens?
I think Clemson wins. I do. I think Clemson wins. I don't think they win by a lot. I think this is a one-score game, but I do think Clemson holds serve.
Michael Felder's with us. In a get-right game, Alabama wins. They win big.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Simpson goes 17-17. That's good, even considering the quality of opponent. Now Wisconsin is in. I think the Badgers are better than they were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama is laying over three touchdowns. They're going to whoop up on the Badgers?
I think this is a game that you have to win. If you're Kalen DeBoers and you're like, have you seen the video of the lady that got asked if she won the Mega Millions, the $1.3 billion? Did you see the video of her?
Yes.
She's like, the first $70 million I would use to buy out Kalen DeBoer, and then the next, however much it take, I would absolutely buy out the athletic director, and then we can start from there. And I was like, this lady is serious. she wants to give like $90 million to get these people out of here. Like that's where they are right now. Like she's not playing. Like she's not like, I want to make sure that my grandkids go through college and I want to make sure we get a house at the lake. And she's like, no, the first thing that I would do is get Kalen DeBoer out of here. And so I think the big thing for them is they've got to – Kalen DeBoer has the one, make it seem like it matters, and make these kids – like you've got to find a way to go out there and get it done. And so this is going to be really interesting. I don't know. Have you seen the Dan Lanning, like, pregame against Oklahoma State?
I didn't.
Oh, this guy goes wild.
Yeah.
He got a lot of Kirby Smart, Nick Saban in him.
Uh-huh.
And he goes wild. And I was like, that's what Alabama fans want.
Yeah.
So, like, I know, like, if Alabama does get the money to fire DeBoer, I know exactly who they're going to hire next. Dan Lanning.
Money's no object. They will beat out Phil Knight.
Yeah, they're going to hire him immediately.
We're going to have our first $25 million college football coach.
I mean, listen, we got a $10 million coach at North Carolina, and he ain't doing much or nothing.
All right, we got a big one in the SEC. Michael Felder's with us. It's Substack.Felder. It's Felder.Substack.com. And, of course, Hand in the Dirt podcast does stuff with Learfield. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tennessee so far has actually looked pretty good on offense, and I hate to say it. I watched Nico over the weekend against UNLV, and Joey Aguilar, the veteran, has looked better. This trade is actually working out really nicely for Tennessee, but nice enough to pull off the upset at home against Georgia.
Whew. They're at home, which is a positive. Joey Aguilar, I think he's got a little bit more dynamism is not the right word. I think he's just more willing to take a risk than Nico. Nico is slight. Nico does not want to get hit. Nico is not is afraid's not the right word, but Nico is very risk averse. And I think we saw that in the UNLV game, right? He's risk averse.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing for a quarterback to be risk averse. I think Joey Aguilar, though, he fits in with Gunnar Stockton. He fits in with even guys like I'm not comparing him to Lamar Jackson. What I am saying is that he's willing to kind of put his head down and make sure he makes the yard to gain. And then when you see him, he's willing to stand in the pocket. And I saw that out of Max Johnson. I saw that out of Underwood at Michigan too, willing to just stick in there. And obviously Mateer is willing to do those same things at Oklahoma. And I think he fits more into that category than guys who are like, I want to protect myself. These are guys like, my team needs to win. And I think that's important. So I think they've got a chance.
Let's get into Florida, because that was not a good showing last week against South Florida. At LSU, the number was 8.5 early in the week. It's now 7.5. Is this spread too big, or is LSU going to roll the Gators?
I think Garrett Nussmeier has made a case for him being the best quarterback in the country. Yeah. I was an Arch guy, right? But I think he's making a case. And I was Arch, and then Garrett and Cade were kind of tied. Cade ain't looked that great. It's not his fault sometimes, because, man, they look – ooh, boy. I don't know if they – it's like they're trying to catch like a – it looks – they're out there looking like they're trying to catch a square. And square's got all these angles on them, and you can't handle those. But I – with Garrett, I think he's really found his rhythm. So I do think that LSU takes care of business. I am looking forward to watching how they take care of business, because they still are working on their run game. And that's the part that's interesting to me. Who's the guy? 14? I can't remember. I can never remember his name.
You got the name block.
14. I truly cannot remember his name, but 14 for LSU. Once he gets into his groove, I mean, he looked like Dennis Rodman out there, like fully boxed out a guy and was just like, yep, that's mine. I'll take it. Thank you. And this held the ball up by himself. And he was like, there's nothing you can do. You can't stop me. I don't know. There's a lot of juice with LSU. And I think LSU watching them play is fun. And it looks like, and this is very different from previous Brian Kelly teams, right? They look like they're having fun. And I think that's important.
Hybrid tight end, Trey Dez Green, who's 6'7", 240.
Oh, my goodness.
So there you go.
Get away. Go.
That's number 14. Michael Felder's with us here on Cofield and Company.
Get away. That's too – like, are you kidding? That's too much. I'll never forget. We had a player on our team named Rock. His name was Rock.
Good start.
Wells.
Yeah.
And – we're playing cover two guys, and I'm one of the high sticks. He splits us down the seam, and I was like, oh, I got him. Got you. Hit him hard, straight in the back. Blacked out.
Yeah.
He made a catch, and he didn't even feel me. and he got up and spun the ball around like a Steve Smith, one of those spins. And I wake up like a second later. I'm like, what happened? I was like, I did. That was a good hit. They're like, it was a good hit, but he didn't feel it.
You got him. He got you.
Got him, but he didn't feel it. So yeah, it's so yeah. That dude is the man. Like he goes. He gets after it. I like watching him play.
So let's talk Miami and South Florida. So USF pulls off the upset against Florida. They now go down to Miami. I mean, what a set of games here. Proving ground games. The line is 16.5. I thought Miami looked great on the defensive line against Notre Dame. I thought they looked stout. The edge rushers are awesome, but here's always the test with edge rushers is the discipline containing quarterbacks like Byron Brown.
Yeah.
You get stuck inside, you're dead meat.
Dead meat. So I'm teeter-tottering on the edge. I have 2 days until I make a decision on this game. So I cannot give you a pick yet. Because I picked USF to win against Florida.
Good pick.
So do I ride my pony all the way home? Do I ride my bulls all the way
home? Your bull, yeah.
So we'll see. But there's opportunity there for them. And we'll see what we get. Like I love the way that the team looks. Like how much have you got to watch them? USF.
South Florida barely. They seem to be playing every time I'm doing something with UNLV.
Right. The way that they look as a football team is the way that I would want a football team to look.
How's that?
High cut. It looks like their legs go all the way up to their nipples, basically. Like they're high cut, they run fast, they play hard, they hit with reckless abandon. And so I like that. My co-host, Stephen Hartzell, right, for Lufield, he was like, what are you going to – you're not going to pick South Florida? And I was like, man, I don't know. I mean, 17-5 is a lot. 17-5, that's a lot of points, Cofield, right?
Yeah, it's now 16.5.
No, last week.
Oh, last week, you're right, yeah. Yeah, that would have been
– he was like 17-5, and he was like, do you want to do it or not do it? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to – give me them, 17-5.
Didn't need it. One outright. Money line.
One outright. And so they won the money line. I think this is a team that just really – the scariest thing that you can do is make a team like this start to believe in themselves, because then they're not afraid of you. They're not afraid of the name. They're not afraid of the logo on the helmet, right? They're not afraid of the jersey.
Yeah, they're motivated by it. They didn't get recruited by Miami, or maybe some left Miami.
Bingo. That's what I was going to say. It's like these are kids that thought they were going to go to Miami to play football. And Miami didn't give him a phone call. They didn't give him an official visit. I'm leaning towards it. I think we got a football game on our hands. That's what I'll say this right now for you. We have a football game on our hands, and then we'll see what Miami is able to do, because at some point, Miami's going to have to take a stand and show up, and that's what we have to see.
You have to get to one more primetime premium big-time game, and that is Texas A&M and Notre Dame. I think this line is way too big. It's 6.5. I think Notre Dame can run the ball this year. They got to be more dedicated to it. I know they were
trying to get – they have to be dedicated. That's the problem.
Yeah, like you have these running backs. You got to run the freaking ball. Come on.
Love needs to get the ball. Why is he not getting the ball 25 times a game?
It was amazing to watch.
Why? Why is he not getting the ball 25 times? But I will say this, flip it over. A&M, they seem like they want it. So this is going to be – I'm excited for that football game for sure.
Who's the better quarterback in the game, Carr or Reed? Not a lot of evidence for Carr so far.
I'm going to say Reed. I think Reed fits into this tier of quarterbacks for me that's like C.J. Bailey. If Lagway would make a decision,
yeah,
he could move up quickly. He just doesn't make a choice.
Comes with experience, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, good job. I'm fired up for the sleepover. I wish I could get on a flight. I don't know why I live in Vegas. I need to move to Charlotte. That was a good spot. We appreciate it, dude. Thank you.
Come on in.
There he is, Michael Felder, our college football insider, Hand in the Dirt podcast. Also, find him up at Substack. It's felder.substack.com. His spot today is brought to you by the Westgate. We've got Saturday and Sunday shows at the Westgate now. JBT, Saturday football preview show at Westgate starting at 8 o'clock. On Sunday, the Sunday football preview show I'm hosting this weekend, 8 o'clock start as well. Remember, dollar beers in the Superbook for Monday. Thursday night football. You want to grab the new Westgate Superbook mobile app. When you do, you get a free bucket of beer upon sign up. And don't forget, on Sundays, Football Central is open. It opens at 9 o'clock. Bucket specials plus unbelievable food in the morning. You can get the bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. You can also take advantage of the breakfast burrito and several other really delicious items at the Westgate, the home for football in the Superbook with ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
Good job there by Michael Felder. Just got a visit from the Cookie Man, our buddy from Starbucks, dropping off our Friday cookies. Always love that. Christopher's all happy. It's Cofield and Company, Treasure Island. Golden Circle Sports Bar in less than 10 minutes. We're going to talk to our pal in the first of several handicapping spots today to get your picks for football. We'll go behind the counter next hour with Chuck Esposito, but Sammy P is coming up in just a little bit. All right, Willie, I don't know if you watched the weigh-in numbers this morning. Did you get a chance to get a gander at Canelo and Crawford, both weighing in at 167.5?
Yeah. Both look good. When I talked to Terrence on Tuesday, I had asked him specifically, you know, because he's going up two weight classes, but did he plan on going right up to the max? Where was he? He goes, yep, I'm going, you know, as high up as he had to be. I mean, no surprise that they came in right where they needed to be. It'd be interesting to see where they come in tomorrow. I'm expecting Canelo to be probably heavier, and I would imagine that Terrence will probably gain 3 to 5 pounds, maybe in water.
Yeah,
but I think Canelo will come in around 175. Crawford, yeah, 170. Go ahead.
Canelo will weigh closer to a little over 180.
Okay,
and I think Crawford will put on a couple of pounds. I thought Canelo looked actually really dry today and kind of worn out. I thought Crawford looked super healthy. I mean, they were both shredded, which is a statement to Crawford because weighing at 168 pounds, 167.5, and not looking like chubby at all. I think he's naturally still shredded at that weight, but I think Canelo will go in tomorrow night with at least a 10-pound weight advantage.
Well, it's easier to do. People think that making a two-weight class jump is going to be difficult for Crawford. It's easier to do what Crawford is doing than what Canelo is doing. Canelo's already been there, so he's having to either cut, come down to limit himself. So looking dry means he had to shed, cut water, cut weight, where Crawford is putting on lean muscle mass. He's going to come in chiseled, but it's all lean muscle mass. So in everything that he's built, you know, it's just pure lean muscle mass that he's grown to. And that's where his strength and that power is going to come in. Whereas, you know, Canelo is going to lose a little bit of energy in drying out, losing his water, a little dehydrated. So I would imagine he'll get an IV, he'll get hydrated, he'll eat, he'll put on some weight, and I think he'll be a little bit heavier, or you know, 5 to 8 pounds heavier than Crawford.
Looking ahead to Monday Night Football, obviously the Raiders not playing this weekend on Sunday. Chargers are going to be in town and the back end of a double dip for Monday Night Football. Some injury questions, Willie, as Landon Roberts got injured last week at linebacker. Brock Bowers obviously had to leave the game early against the Patriots. Pete Carroll would not indicate this morning if they were going to practice later in the day. And then the update from our guy Jesse Merrick of Silver and Black Sports Network said that Bowers did miss the practice with that knee injury. Landon Roberts was back at practice, sprained elbow. That was after missing Thursday. And then I guess the one that maybe is alarming is JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson, did not practice.
Yeah, I think all week leading up is the big concern about Bowers, because we've been saying leading up to the season that he's the number one target. I mean, Jacoby Myers was targeted 10 times, Bowers 8 in game one. Myers hauled in 8 passes. Bowers hauled in 5, 403 yards. So, I mean, it's concerning that he's not going to be there. Depending on, you know, Michael Mayer, I, I, I don't know if it's as big of an alarm as people actually need to make it out to be. He obviously, if it's long term, it's concerning. But I think you can prepare for this with how we saw Chip Kelly spread things out with the play calling last week and the targets. So he missed today. He was seen in a brace. But Coach Pete Carroll does expect him to play Monday. So right now, Bowers is sort of non-committal, saying he's hopeful. So we'll see what happens with him. I agree a little bit to a degree as far as on the line with JPJ. But let's not forget the big question mark with him through training camp in terms of where was he going to play, shuffling him around. So they've done a good job of working different people in and out in the rotation on the offensive line. So I think that they'll be – obviously they're going to miss personnel if anyone's missing, but I think with the work that they put in rotations during training camp, that they'll be okay, that they'll be prepared is the best way to put it.
We are here until 6 o'clock on this Football Friday with Cofield and Company, then back again tomorrow, 9 to 11. ESPN Las Vegas is on the scene with a full college football breakdown. Look ahead to the NFL football on Saturday morning at the Golden for inside Treasure Island. That goes from 9 until 11. They do have breakfast for the morning games, and you can order stuff like the breakfast sandwich, the chicken chilaquiles, or the breakfast meat lovers quesadilla. 9 a.m. tomorrow, throw the flag at the Golden Circle Sports Bar right here at Treasure Island.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, let's bring in Sammy P for a special Friday spot. Sam Paniadovich from Bet Sweats is up with Cofield and Willie Ramirez. Sammy, what's up, buddy?
Good to hear you on a Friday, my friend.
Yes. Willie is here as well. So is Griffin back in our Finley Toyota studios. Let's start getting what you're hearing with the whispers around Las Vegas. And I know you have a lot of sharp information, but one of the things we want to get into are some injuries. And first of all, or I don't know, maybe a lack of confidence in the quarterback. I'm not sure. Ole Miss at quarterback in this game against Arkansas.
This line's been all over the place. Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons is the guy we're talking about. Now, he left last Saturday's game with an ankle. And by the middle of the week, the Clarion Ledger in Mississippi said that he was probable. But then you started to hear rumblings on Thursday that he was at a boot, he wasn't doing what they thought he was going to do. And you know wise guys, Steve, they don't wait on this stuff. They just bet, and then they could always bet off it later. So when this report or this rumor came out, they came in, they bet Arkansas 6.5 and 7. Circa got to 6. Naturally, as you know, people come back and they want to lay a good number. They laid Ole Miss -6. So there's this rumor hanging that Simmons might not be healthy. Then Lane Kiffin doesn't even list him on the injury report on Thursday. So you're really trying to pin the tail on the donkey. I have no idea if he's going to play. But I know it was bet. So this was 9, 8.5 earlier in the week, and now we're sitting sub 7. Clearly some support for Arkansas. Maybe a belief that if Simmons does go, he's not healthy. The backup, though, at Ferris State last year had 51 touchdowns. So there's so many moving parts, and the calculus is very difficult. But this was a kid that did get hurt last Saturday. It's an ankle injury, and I guess we'll find out tomorrow just how healthy he is and if he goes or not.
What are we doing with Central Michigan now, 27.5-point dogs against Michigan?
So my buddy Tommy Lorenzo really likes it, and he took 28. Obviously, he got a better number there. So Central Michigan does this weird three-quarterback system, and it's very difficult to prepare for it. Not that Michigan's ever unprepared, but it's a very unique team to play. And I know the MAC has been blown out a ton this season. Well, Central Michigan can stop the run, too. So Tommy was very happy to basically make a bet where he needs to get 10 points. He feels like if he gets 10, Michigan's not going to score 38. That's his handicap, not mine. So he likes Central Michigan. I can also tell you this. This isn't even in the newsletter I did. It sounds like Dylan Edwards is going to play tonight for Kansas State. He's running back 1 for the Wildcats. He was a little banged up, and it sounds like everything is pointing to him playing. Again, we don't know how healthy he's going to be, but we assume that he's going to be out there. And K-State has actually moved to the favorite. They're getting bet right now out to 1, 1.5. But that's good news for K-State. He's their best running back, and I know people say running backs aren't worth a lot. Maybe in the NFL that's true. In college, I think RB1 is pretty important, so he should be out there tonight. That's a 9 o'clock kick on the East Coast.
Tennessee plus 3.5 against Georgia.
Oh, Tony Miller, man, he was adamant. They need Georgia. And it's funny when when you hear sportsbook guys, no matter who they are, no matter where they work, when you hear a sportsbook say that they're rooting for Kirby Smart, or it used to be Nick Saban or Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, more times than not, Steve, they got what they wanted. So this number in Vegas opened like 6.5. And now you look up and you see 3.5. And that's a big apple bite, no doubt, on Tennessee. I think you're going to see some money come in day of the game on Georgia. So there's a 3.5 right now at South Point. Most other books are 4. I think we might crawl back a little bit. But definitely early in the week, you saw people come in. They bet not only Tony at the Nugget taking the 6.5, but they were betting that number all over town. Got it down to 3.5, and now you're seeing that Georgia pushback as limits go higher.
Sammy P, let's stay there for a minute with that game. I don't know what the reaction is, but from my understanding, isn't Tennessee banged up a little bit?
They've got some issues not only at corner, but they have some guys banged up on the defensive line. I think, Willie, though, it's more of a short on Georgia. There are some people in some groups that don't think that Georgia is priced properly. I think we do this every year with Georgia and Alabama. Oh, the talent is there. The talent is there. And if the quarterback play is not, that's the great equalizer, right? I think at Georgia, there are some people that don't think Gunnar Stockton should be a 6-point favorite on the road. And those people were right, because here we are. The market sits at 4 day before the game. I think it's more of a short on the perception of Georgia, but that's not the only team that got bet against. So Georgia opened 6, 6.5. Clemson opened 6. That game's down to 3.
Yeah.
The Georgia Tech money, sharp and square, is not stopping. Now, it's difficult to get it below 3, because then you're going to potentially get middle. The last thing they want to do is move to 2.5, because then you got wise guys that'll lay 2.5. The other wise guys took 6. The game lands 3, you're cooked. So I don't think there's any interest in moving off the 3, but that's been one-way action on Georgia Tech, and a lot of money early in the week on Tennessee. The Georgia buyback has started the show, though.
Yeah. That it's funny you bring up that Clemson game again. The they lose to LSU, they go down 16-0 to Troy, they score 27 unanswered points. I think people are doubting that offense. At some point, they gotta come out and play 4 quarters of football. I actually think that they're going to do that this week. Miami, South Florida. What do you see with this game?
I see a blowout. What did Mr. T say in Rocky III? Pain. Look, USF's a great story. They're also very small. And I think what doesn't go noticed with Miami is how large and how skillful they are on the offensive and defensive lines. Mario's got 2 guys on the O-line. Mario Cristobal, the head coach. 2 guys on the O-line that are going to go in the NFL. 1 guy's going to be a top 10 pick. On the D-line, they feel like they got 3 guys that are going to the NFL with the guys that they rotate in. It's just a size and speed and skill thing. USF's a fun story. But when you look at it, after beating Boise, upset, after beating Florida, upset, this number opened 15, which feels high. And despite all the tickets and all the bets on USF, on the small side of things, a lot of small bets on USF, look at the line now, 17.5.
Yep.
I talked to people around Miami. They feel good about it. They're talking blowout, 42-17, very possible. Miami's offense, Willie, they might score the first 4 times on the field. I mean, that's how good they are offensively. The quarterback is a Heisman contender in Carson Beck. I know USF's a good story, but the bigger bets on this game have all been on Miami.
What are the sharps thinking about Temple and Oklahoma?
Oh, this is that sharp sandwich, Steve, because when Oklahoma beats Michigan and then Auburn's on deck, what do? You take the ugly dog in the middle. Now, I did not bet the game, but this opened in Vegas at 24.5. Some books cracked down to 21.5. So we saw like a near 3-point move. It's funny, though, because I send this newsletter out Thursday night, Friday morning. As I look at the board right now, they got it back. Circa, Superbook, 24, 24. So those guys that came in and bet Temple down, other guys came in and bet Oklahoma back up. The reality is Temple could lose this game 38-0. It's a good spot for Temple. but it's also Temple. And that game's at the Link in Philly. I know it's maybe not the greatest schedule spot for Oklahoma, but we did see resistance on that early Temple move. They drove it right back where it started, 24 at a lot of books right now. I didn't even see that move until just now. But it was 21.5 last night. Now it's 24. You tell me what that means.
Two more college games trending under. Do we want to play either Florida LSU under or Oregon Northwestern under?
That Florida LSU game is always crazy. I think it's going to be super physical, super tight. Both moves make sense. I think that sleepy spot, though, in Evanston is a better play. A couple shops in town have 49. A lot of books have 48.5. I don't need to tell you, Steve. Multiples of 7, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. If you're going under, those numbers are important. It's a sleepy 11 o'clock kick. The stadium's going to be half empty. Oregon's got a huge game on deck against Oregon State. Then they got Penn State in 2 weeks. Do they really need to score 70? I mean, I know they've been scoring 59, 69. I feel like they can't be stopped. But Northwestern does have a Big Ten D-line. Northwestern's also going to punt from the Oregon 40 and try and play field position. This could be 31-10 very easily. And the market drove this down from 52 to 49, 48.5. I respect the move a ton, and I still think it's not low enough. You're getting a huge tax on what Oregon's done and not what they're going to do on Saturday.
NFL, Sam Peniatovich is with us from BetSweats here on Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. Do you ever read on the Texans?
John Murray told me today from the Superbook that some of their sharpest players bet Houston. Now, they laid 1.5 and 2. That market, let me check, currently I believe is 2.5 on the Texans. Okay, I see a 3 offshore, a lot of 2.5. Basically, what you're going to see, Steve, whether it be the Lions, the Texans, the Dolphins, you're going to see wise guys trust their numbers and not their eyeballs. Most people watch Week 1 or maybe Week 1 plus Thursday Night Football and give you takes like this. Green Bay's the best team in football. Or the Dolphins are cooked. Or the Chiefs are washed. Power ratings don't tell you that because power ratings don't have feelings. It's just a number against another number. And the numbers like Houston in the game, especially at home. So you did see a push on Houston. Murray also said sharps are on Detroit against Chicago. I think maybe Detroit might be okay, given how Green Bay handled Washington last night. I think the big overreaction for Week 1 was, wow, the Lions are broken. No, the Packers probably have a really, really, really good defense. That's the conclusion now after two data points. But sharp guys are on 3 teams, Murray told me. The Texans, minus the points. The Lions, they bet that from 4.5 to 6. And then they're also, guess what? They're betting the Kansas City Chiefs +1 at home against the Eagles.
Speaking of overreaction, I know the 49ers are banged up and Brock Purdy's down, but it's not as if Mac Jones doesn't have experience. And wasn't the team that everybody was talking about through training camp that had the worst quarterback room in the NFL and possibly would be the worst NFL team is the New Orleans Saints? Am I silly to think that this number has dropped so far? Give me the Niners.
So, funny story. I was trying to shove San Francisco into all my Survivor conversations, and I got instant pushback. I kept texting people, Mac Jones, no matter what. Nobody liked it. Nobody cared. I'm with you, though. New Orleans is one of the lowest teams I've had rated coming into a season. And you also compound that with the fact that it's a first-time head coach in Kellen Moore. There's a lot of things that need improvement there. The roster, Moore needs more experience. I wanted to do San Francisco just to win in one of the Survivor pools that we did out in Vegas, the big one at Circa with like the $18 million pot. Nobody wanted to do it with me. I would put it this way. I would need so many more points than 3 to take New Orleans. So I'm with you, Willie. I think San Francisco is a sneaky, sneaky spot. I think a lot of people are going to look to take the points with New Orleans because Mac Jones stinks. Fine. Spencer Rattler might stink worse. So just be careful there.
Sam Peniatovich is with us. Sam, we were reading off a lot of notes that you had sent over. What's going on with the alert at the end of the week that you're giving out?
So is this the FCS bet that's going to move like 4 points? Is that what we're talking about? Yeah, the North Carolina.
I want to hear about that, but also just in general what you're putting out for people, because I know you were very bullish on getting them some notes at the end of the week, which we hit on a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, that's just the tip sheet I do. You can find that on my Twitter. It's at SP Shoot. I'm talking to like Vegas bookmakers and trying to get updates on who's playing, who's not, what do the books need. And I send that out every Friday morning. It's been going pretty well so far. I know you read it. I know Willie's going to start reading it after this week because now he knows about it.
100%.
By the way, the bartender went 2-0 last week. This guy's on fire, Steve.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Everything's upside down. Everything's upside down. All right, do you have a play? What are you going to do? I got talked off of my five-game card. I haven't put it in yet, but I got talked off of in the middle of the week taking the Dolphins. I still want to take them. What do we do?
I took the Raiders last week because I think the Patriots are awful.
Yeah.
And it's very wild to me. You know, I live out here in Boston now. People were so quick to say that Gerard Mayo was going to be this next great head coach and Mac Jones was the next great quarterback. And they're doing the same freaking thing. Only it's more national now with Vrabel because people like Vrabel. And I like Vrabel too. He's a respectable guy. He's a great coach. But that team won four games last year. Four! They've got two rookies starting on the O-line. I don't know if the quarterback's good. Their top corner's already hurt. Their safety's hurt. It's a bad roster that's already, you know, showing a lot of holes. And I'm going to keep going against them. I know it was a very popular over. People were betting the Patriots to make the playoffs. Vrabel will fix it, but not in 1 week, not in 1 month. Mm. He's going to need time there. And I know the Dolphins looked horrible, but everybody watched the game. Everybody overreacts to the game. That heat, the humidity, it's going to be 90 degrees in Miami. Tua is also 7-0 in his career against New England. I didn't even know that when I made my bet. I heard that after. I'm like, ooh, that's a nice little cherry on top. Tua is 7-0 straight up against Patriots. Don't overthink it.
Can we go out with a Monday Night Football play on, what do we do? Chargers? I mean, again, overreaction, maybe. Maybe the Chargers are really good. Should the Chargers be laying points here in Vegas?
Yes, they should. I don't know that it should be 3.5. It's Chargers beat the Chiefs, and now we're pricing the Chargers like the Chiefs would be priced if the Chiefs went to Vegas last year. It'd be like 4. Now it's 3.5 on the Chargers. Look, I had Geno last week. He threw for almost 400 yards. I'm hopeful Bowers is going to play. I know he didn't do much at practice today. We'll see how that goes over the weekend. But everybody's on the Chargers. It's so funny how that works. Everybody liked the Chiefs against the Chargers. And then the Chargers beat the Chiefs, and now we're Chargers people. Got it. Okay. I like Chip Kelly, man. Chip Kelly, he's fun to bet on, and Pete Carroll is a dog. One of my favorites.
Sammy, you're awesome. Glad you're putting out the info on Friday. That's very helpful for us on the show and bettors in general. We'll talk to you, buddy.
All right, thanks. See you.
At SP Shoot, he'll be back in his regular Tuesday spot next week. Want to remind you, on Mondays, we're out at the Front Yard at Ellis Island. We start with Cofield & Company at 3 o'clock all the way through 8 o'clock this week. Of course, there's two Monday Night Football games, and the back end is that Raiders game against the Chargers. Great food in the Front Yard, really great food all over the property at Ellis Island. Go check out the Village Pub where they've got that steak special. You get a player's card. You can get it for as low as $10, $6 burger special. And then specials every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Tonight is Fried Shrimp Night.